For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Pentecost season is a lengthy one, but its 6 months give the Lord's people great exposure to his life, deepening our understanding of that life, as well as helping us to understand better how the Lord's life makes its way through the world's life. When you and I gather for these sacred exposures on Sundays, we preachers are tempted to get to the headlines of the world's news programs and or the expressions of the world's social media. But ordination has taught us to get behind such headlines and expressions to the people around us who are confused and lost, restless, harassed, and helpless. Now, we're aware that such realities are the result of the unholy trio, sin, Satan, death, dominating the world's life and stirring up as much chaos as they can. Thankfully, though, you and I are not left to the destructive and deadly swings of those realities. In our exposures to the Lord's life, we get to see how that life confronts such realities and frees the people who are trapped by them. Such in-depth seeing got underway two Sundays ago when Jesus began instructing his 12 disciples in Matthew 10. In those instructions, he leveled with his followers that the work of faithfully caring and stubbornly reflecting his life in this world is both hard and difficult. It is that way because the world's life is caught up with its own attitude and its own action, and it supports itself with the creation and the maintenance of its numerous gods. Such attitude and such activity enables things to get done in the world, but it also creates issues when those individual attitudes and activities start to clash with one another and the prospects for any solutions look unattainable. It is this reality of the world's life that makes the caring and the reflecting of the Lord's life into it both difficult and hard. In today's gospel, Jesus makes it clear that his life does push into the world's life and it does rescue the people who are hammered by it. As you have noticed, there are two sections from this passage, but they are separated. And it does help our understanding if we fill in the gaps. Last Sunday, our Lord concluded the instructions that he was giving to his disciples. He then went on to teach and preach in their cities as chapter 11 opens up. During this time, John the Baptizer was put into prison. He heard of Jesus' activity and sent his disciples, his followers, to Jesus, asking if he is the one to come, or should they look for another? Jesus responded that John's disciples are to report to him what they hear and see. The blind are receiving their sight. The lame are walking. Lepers are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. Dead are being raised up, and the poor are having good news preached to them. It's important to notice what our Lord said at the end of this report. Blessed is the person who is not offended by him. As the disciples go back to speak with John, Jesus says to the crowds, "What did you all go out into the wilderness to look at?" After offering a number of reasons, Jesus asserts that John was the messenger the preparer for him. In describing John's greatness in that work, it is important to notice Jesus' comment that his kingdom is coming violently into this world and that John is the Elijah who was to come. Then we come into today's first section. Our Lord is commenting how the people around him are a group of complainers. The people to whom he is bringing his life have all these expectations. But people like himself and John the Baptizer are not meeting those expectations. So he cites two examples. We played a flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, and you didn't mourn. Jesus then observes how that complaining extends to the baptizer as well as to himself. John shows up as the preparer for the Messiah, watching carefully what he eats and what he drinks. And people say, he has a demon. Jesus appears as the Son of Man, the one who is the world's Redeemer, the one who is indifferent to what he eats and drinks. And people tell others to look at him, describing him as a glutton and a drunkard, and worse yet, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Our Lord responds mysteriously to this complaining by stating that wisdom is justified by our deeds. Remember that in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is described as a being of the Lord God. Our Lord's point in citing this is to reveal that in the works of both the baptizer and the Son of Man, people can see the Lord God beginning to unpack the world's salvation. The people in Jesus' generation, however, do not see the works leading to that salvation. And further, are huge complainers about the way that salvation is being unpacked. Then you and I come to a gap between the two sections that you heard. Notice what emerges from that. Jesus expresses his anger at the cities that refuse to see the work he is doing and who refuse to repent of their self-asserting and self-centering ways. He chillingly concludes that the judgment landing on them is going to be overwhelming. Then, when you and I turn into this second section of the passage, our Lord reinforces what he has just expressed in a prayer to his Father as he thanks him for hiding these things from such people. What are these things? Well, the realities cited earlier. Blind people receiving their sight. Lame people walking again. Lepers being cleansed. Deaf people hearing. Dead people being raised. Good news being brought to poor individuals. People being blessed because they are not offended by Jesus. Our Lord is thankful that the Father has hidden these things from the people who believe themselves to be wise and understanding. He's thankful that the Father is revealing these things instead to little children, not just young people, but also Jesus's followers. It is striking, too, that Jesus points to the Father as the Lord of heaven and earth. The Father's life, despite its hiddenness, and despite the pretensions of the world's gods, is the most dominant reality in this world. It has always been the Father's intent to draw the world's people, despite their self-assertion and rebellion, despite their self-centeredness and ignorance, back to his life. In his prayer, Jesus states that everything has been handed over to him by the Father. This is so the world's rescue can be accomplished. He also states that no one can know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom Jesus chooses to reveal the Father. This is why our Lord brought the Father's life to the world through his ministry, a ministry that began with his incarnation and concluded in his dying, rising, and ascending. Jesus then startles us with both an invitation to his life and his description of it. He invites those who are weary and heavily burdened to come to him so he can give them his rest, the rest that comes from being yoked to him. Most of us are not around animals anymore that are yoked. We're mostly familiar with dogs and cats, animals for whom yoking does not come easily. But we are aware of draft horses, such as Belgians or Clydesdales, nearly 6 feet high and weighing around 2,000 pounds. These huge horses are braced or harnessed together in pairs of 2, 4, 6, or 8. Such yoking joins them together, enabling them to work better with much more support and strength. If these huge horses are not yoked together, their work will not be efficient. They will go in different ways, their attitudes and their energies canceling one another out. The people in this world who are weary and heavily burdened are that way because they insist on living for themselves, on being their own person. But if they recognize how ground down they are, how their gods are using them so they can be thrown away, then the Lord God will begin to turn them into his life. As he pulls them away from themselves and yokes them to himself, he will lift their burdens and power them with his energy. The key to such recognition, though, is whether people will be obedient to themselves or to the Lord God who desires to give them his life. And when you and I are harnessed to his life, we will see the ease and the lightness of such life. Such a turning takes people who's blindly thought that life was only what is given at birth. Now they see the life given at baptism. Such a turning takes people whose lame lives wobbled and lurched as they followed their desires and their obsessions. Now they are striding out as the Lord's daughters and sons. Such a turning takes people whose dirtied lives had separated them from others and forced them to live among their own kind. Now they've been cleansed by the Lord God and can interact with all kinds of individuals. Such a turning takes people who used to hear only what they were saying. Now they can hear the Lord when he speaks to them. Such a turning takes people whose lives had shut down so much they were like dead. Now they've been revived by the Lord God and have a life in front of them that is filled with purpose for the present time and will find completion in eternity. Such a turning takes people who used to be non-responsive when the Lord God pushed into their lives. Now they rush to him and kneel in his presence. These turnings occurring now are hidden from those individuals who are completely wrapped up in themselves. However, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are choosing to reveal their rescue to the people who are wearied and heavily burdened by the demands and the realities of living in this world. Through the works of both the baptizer and the Son of Man, people can now see the Lord God unpacking the world's salvation. further through the daily and weekly realities of the Lord's Scriptures and the Lord's sacraments. He is always turning us from the life given us by the world at birth to the life given us by the Lord at baptism. As you and I make our way through this long Pentecost season, it is a privilege and responsibility for the Lord's people to faithfully carry and stubbornly reflect His life to the people in this world who are helpless and harassed, who are restless, who are lost and confused. May the Lord's Spirit continue to power us as His sons and daughters, so that the difficult and hard work into which we have been baptized and ordained continues to get done in this generation. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.